Megan and Kellen. And with us this week is, again, Donald McIsaac.
Yay, Donald.
What's up, Donald?
Hello. Hello. Thank you.
Wave to all your fans.
I'm currently waving, but I'm facing my kitchen. There's no one in there.
Except for your delicious food.
My tajitos are in the oven. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we've taken Donald away from his food.
Yeah, but it's all right. They'll stay warm, I'm sure.
He's left all his food just for the fans.
Yeah. All four of my tajitos.
for all four of our fans.
That's a lot of tajitos.
Yeah, I know.
Based on our numbers, there's like, you know, there's a tajito for every fan. So
yeah, that's about... Well, you had double-digit fans for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Double-digit subscribers on...
On Feedburner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. We also... you wouldn't believe how many people come to our website for deer facts, Donald.
So many people looking for deer facts.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, did you hear that on the last podcast?
Yeah, you told... Yeah, you didn't tell me, but I heard it on the podcast.
But we were really telling you.
Yeah, I have difficulty discerning between the two sometimes.
Yeah, we actually right now have, in the past 7 days, seven of our search results were white-tailed deer facts. two were anatomy of a deer, and then the one search was external anatomy of a deer.
As opposed to...
We've only had one search go to Raised Indoors blog, so...
That's bizarre. Can you tell what countries these are coming from?
No.
Sorry, go ahead.
The most we can tell is, like, what... The links they've clicked on, the search results, that sort of thing, and what websites have referred us.
No, that's funny. I used to know the guys who did the video streaming for the Capers basketball games, and they used to get like bizarre, like some made sense. They'd be like, I don't know, understand why all these people are tuning in from like Maryland, and then one of the guys would be like, oh, I have a bunch of cousins in there, and I tell them to watch. But there'd be, like, strange, like, people from Turkey would watch the games. Like, they would have, like, five viewers from Turkey tuning into it, and there'd be, like, Turks and Caicos.
Wow. Like,
there'd be a couple people from Mongolia. There was always a lot from Egypt, but I guess there was a lot of Egyptian students there.
Yeah.
The far-reaching arm of Cape.
Yeah, it was really bizarre, though, because he could see where they were from. Most were from, like, Canada or the U.S., but...
That's
yeah.
so strange, though, to get...
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Turkey's my favorite. I can imagine a bunch of Turkish people sitting around.
Yeah, just watching these games.
About the basketball game.
Yeah. They figure that they just searched, like, live basketball or something, and they were just like, oh, it's basketball.
And just watch whatever was on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I guess the people searching for, like, white-tailed deer anatomy that were directed to our site wouldn't be wrong. They would
find the
facts they were looking for.
I do have a picture of a white-tailed deer and the anatomy.
Yeah.
So.
Tail.
And
white.
If they had listened to that podcast, they'd know all that I know about white-tailed deer.
Yeah, and how important they are out there.
But, yeah.
But they're not as good as that other one, though, whatever the...
The brown-tailed deer?
They're better than mule deer.
Oh, they're better than mule deer, yeah.
Mule deer are the crappy ones that people don't really like.
Not pure.
Not pure
of heart.
Not as inbred as white-tailed deer.
Inbred out on the prairies.
When I was listening to that podcast, I was on the bus going to school, and I think I was, like, creeping out the guy sitting across from me because I had this, like, weird smile on my face the whole time, laughing about the white-tailed deer and, like, the rant about Harry Potter, and this guy just kept looking at me.
He looks like, over, he's like, hey,
I had a bomb or something.
You've been looking at me for a while. You want something? Hey, have you ever heard of a white-tailed deer's? Do you want to see some anatomy?
Deers? No, the plural for deer is deer, Kellen.
Sorry.
Grammatical
deers is?
Jeez.
Amoebae?
What have you been up to, Cal?
I don't know. What have I been up to? I've been playing some more games a little bit. The shows haven't been on this week.
It's the week without shows.
Yeah.
What?
How I Met Your Mother wasn't on Monday.
I don't still watch How I Met Your Mother. Our NBC shows were on.
Was The Office on?
My taping of The Office, I wasn't here. So I just had them all taped, but my taping of The Office didn't go through. But that sometimes happens.
Okay,
There might not have been a new Office. They might have showed two 30 Rocks.
Yeah, I don't think there was a new Office, but
there's New Parks and Rec.
Yeah,
yeah, it was The Parks and Rec episode was really good.
It was really good. I really enjoyed Ron bowling.
Yes.
Oh, that's so funny.
That was really funny when Tom tried to do it with the two hands, and Ron was like, "Oh, people can see you, Tom.
Do you have no shave?" And then, like,
yeah.
Oh, so funny.
Ow, I hurt my fingy.
Yeah, my fingy. It hurts. Give me some.
Similar injuries, not nope. The same.
Yeah. That was a really good episode.
Yeah,
the show's really picked up since Champion started going on the show.
Champion the Three-Legged Dog.
Oh, yeah. That's been awesome.
Yeah, I think they really hit gold with Champion. Yeah.
He's been my favorite minor character since DJ Roomba.
DJ Roomba yeah. was my favorite.
Jerry! Broke DJ Roomba! Oh,
yeah.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love when Andy just picks up Champion. He's like, Champion needs to go outside and leave the room.
He doesn't like awkward situations.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
So great.
Oh.
Yeah, actually, just thinking of that, Chris Traeger, whatever, Rob Lowe on that TV movie. It was on The Soup this week.
Oh yeah, that was really bizarre.
I know.
The slow motion stripping scene in the prison.
And there's a little kid, he comes in the room, and Rob Lowe's just naked, and the kid's just staring at his nakedness, and he's just like, you could have told him to leave the room. Well,
he needs to see this.
Why they call me Big Daddy or something?
Oh,
or like,
God.
I, for a while, was trying to figure out whether that was just not a sketch done by The Soup or something.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. Like, it was so bizarre.
And then at the end, when he was stripping, I was like, maybe they slowed this down in slow-mo, because they often do that stuff. And he's just like, we didn't slow that down.
We didn't document that clip.
Oh, that was terrifying.
Oh, man. The blonde mustache really did it for me.
It's
like Rob Lowe.
Yeah.
Looking good.
He does some weird movies.
Yep.
There's one I want to see that's coming up. It's Melt With Me.
Is that the one about the hockey team full of Indian immigrants?
No, it's not that one, but yeah, I've seen that. That one has
the hockey.
That Peters guy.
Yeah, it's a
Russell
hockey.
Yeah.
Oh, is Russell Peters in that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's called some really ridiculous name.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like some hockey term and then like a Panduri term or something. Yeah. It's like breakaway something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually can't remember what it was. I just saw a couple ads for it and I was like, this looks terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
Yeah. There's another one with him and like Jeremy Piven and two other guys, and they're best friends when they were younger, and they always did drugs and had sex with stuff like that. So now they all have their own lives and kids and things, and Rob Lowe's character brings them all to a cabin and like gets them all drugged up again, and it looks ridiculous.
It looks a little strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy Piven does a lot of really bad movies too.
Yeah, he does. And
although he's not in a lot of really good stuff anyway.
No.
But.
Megan's sitting here going, yeah, he even did Entourage. Terrible.
For like 10 years. Like, that was a long time.
It's funny because that's such a guilty pleasure show, but I kind of miss it because it was that 20-minute show I could throw on. It's like when South Park's not on, it's something just to throw on for 20 minutes. But
yeah, I don't know why I watched that show.
Yeah.
Like I just kind of hated it the whole time, and I was just
I stopped.
Yeah,
I watched the first season with Kellen and was like, I just don't get this.
No.
I'm done.
I still don't get it, but I think I've watched every episode.
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
Yeah, and I've watched every episode. And
you're a completist, though, Kellen. Stuff that's bad just to finish it, like that carpooling show.
Yeah, if people were listening to podcasts before, they know I started watching that show. I think on the second episode we were talking about it, and I finally finished it.
It was awful.
It was horrible. Yeah. In one episode, the plot line was that they were driving and they put food or something inside their rival car's engine, the guy who always steals their parking spot. And then the car exploded on the highway, and they thought it was because of them. So then they threatened them, and they were like, oh, we're gonna have to pay for it. So they got them to a parking lot. They threatened them and were like, oh, we're not going to pay for this, all this stuff. And the guy goes, oh, so shit, you know about this? Yeah, we were trying to fool the insurance. So this guy gave them money.
It was the dumbest thing.
Geez.
Yeah,
it was the end of that show?
Yeah. And then, they gave him the money, and then their car was in neutral for some reason and then drove off the parking garage onto the ground, and then they used the money to fix their car. Yep. That was a storyline.
I can't believe that you are enough of a completist that you watched all of that and you stopped watching The Wire after one episode.
I know. Oh, Kellen.
That's funny, though.
I will watch The Wire, but...
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, the reason is because I looked at Carpoolers. It was only 13 episodes, but usually that's a sign to not watch it because it got canceled after 13 episodes, but I still did. I also watched a show called The Teachers. It was based off, I think, a British show, but it only had six episodes, and I watched every one of them. And it was horrible. But it had the guy from National Treasure.
The skinny guy?
Yeah.
The sidekick guy?
The sidekick, yeah.
Okay.
This dollar bill is trying to tell me something.
Someone asked me an awesome question. I was in my digital history class the other day, and we went for coffee. And this guy who's not in my department was just like, what exactly is public history? Is that like... Nicolas Cage in National Treasure? And I was like...
Yes. Yes, it is, sir.
This guy's a master's student?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez.
He's not a history student. He's in, like, telecommunication management nonprofit thing. I don't know.
Who is this guy?
He just had a long title, and I just had no idea what he was talking about.
That explains it a lot.
He compared me to Nicolas Cage, though, so that
he compared you to Nicolas. Well, you are the daughter of a guy who looks like Nicolas Cage, apparently.
My dad does look kind of like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. I don't see it, but sure. I mean, I asked your. I think your mom told me that, and I asked her dad, are you going to buy a weird pyramid to be buried in? And, you know, are you angry when the toast gets burned?
How did it get burned?
Have you ever seen that movie, Donald?
Which movie?
The Wicker Man?
No, I didn't. I've seen highlight reels of Nicolas Cage in it.
Exactly.
I've never actually sat down and watched the movie.
I saw one.
Yeah, we're thinking about watching it just because of those clips. It just seems like that ridiculous movie that'd be fun to just get hammered and watch it.
How'd it get burned?
If you want a really, really, really bad movie to watch that is like, it's just so bad it's laugh out loud funny, you should watch Land Speed.
I've heard about this.
What's Land Speed? Who's in it?
Billy Zane is in it. And it's like a kind of futuristic movie. And it's kind of set in like a sometime in the future. And they're kind of racing these, they kind of look like covered hovercrafts that they were like in like Star Wars or something.
I don't know.
There's not a lot of a plot in this movie. But it was funny that we watched it a couple of times in high school, and just at the end of it, we were like, whoa, when was this movie made? Like 1995, and it was made like 2003.
That's awesome.
I love watching those movies, and you go back to them, and you're like, this had to be made like before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, nope.
And it was made a couple years ago.
It just had no budget. Yeah.
No budget. Kellen and I watched The Fifth Element last week because he had never seen it.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Fifth Element, Donald?
I don't know if I've ever heard of that movie.
Oh, really? It's got so Bruce Willis.
Mila Jovovich.
Is it Gary Oldman?
Gary Oldman. Yeah. Ian Holm. Chris Tucker.
That's the one. Have you ever seen the pictures of Chris Tucker as like the...
Dressed up as a woman.
Yeah, it's kind of dressed up as a woman-ish sort of character, all in purple, very like his hair all over the place.
I don't know. No, I think it seems like Chris Tucker's dressed up as a woman in most movies that he's been in.
Yeah.
This movie's great, though.
It's a ridiculous movie.
It's made in 1997.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, I've never heard of it, actually, I don't think.
But. Yeah, it's one of those futuristic-type movies. I don't know. Bruce Willis is a taxi driver in the future.
He's basically the same person that he is in Die Hard.
In Die Hard, yeah.
But in the future.
He even wears, like, the wife beaters and stuff.
But it's orange this time.
Yeah, he wears an orange wife beater.
And he's blonde.
Yeah, so.
This movie sounds promising.
It's awesome.
And then there's Gary Oldman, who has a haircut where he's all, like, parted and then shaved on one side.
He's
like
got,
those,
like, a comb over, but half of his head is shaved.
Yeah, like one of those style haircuts. And
he's the villain.
Yeah, and there's aliens in it that just are... horrible costumes. Those type of costumes where they're a giant, like, rubber sort of head, but the mouth doesn't move at all. And it looked terrible. And it was classic film. Yeah.
It's so apparently a cult hit.
Oh, it's definitely a cult hit. It's one of those type of movies. But
really?
But
maybe.
Speaking of cult hits,
you beat me to the segue, Kelly.
Well, it turns out that. Last week we got an email from Donald, and we talked about that. It was all about, you know, Doctor Who, and I guess we made a comment on some beloved TV shows of Donald's.
American television.
Yeah, and and Donald is now going to defend those. So, well, what did we hurt you about?
What were the accusations laid against you, Donald?
The first was that about the Jersey Shore, and to defend the Jersey Shore, which I think this might be the first time anyone's ever tried to defend the Jersey Shore.
You're going to go down in history. You're going to be famous.
Yeah, I should be like Guinness World Records or something as first person to try to defend the Jersey Shore in a public setting.
Now, I've actually seen episodes of the Jersey Shore, like not through the soup. I've like sat down to watch a fair amount. And I don't know, have you, Kellen? Do you? Have you ever watched an episode?
I haven't watched a full episode.
Oh, see?
Really? You lived with me and Mike. We both were fans of the show.
Yeah, and I've never sat down and watched a full one, but I've seen enough of it that,
you've seen
like,
a lot of Snooki falling on her face.
Yeah, but I've seen a couple episodes that, you know, not fully through, but we went to a party once and we had to watch some of an episode.
Yeah, it sucks you in, though. Like, I used to watch it after intramural basketball and just be like, what's happening?
Yeah. So
it is kind of one of those weird things that you kind of get sucked into their world at times. It's kind of like if you watch like a bunch of like the Real Housewives of New Jersey or something, and then like you kind of like sit down and like, man, this show is terrible. Like there's like a marathon. And like three episodes later, be like, wow, if she was talking smack about my family like that, I'd pull out her weave too.
Exactly.
And it's those mornings when you wake up and it's like you slept in. It's 11 o'clock. You turn on TV. You're like, I don't know what I'm going to do today. You flip to TLC and you're like, Cake Boss, my day is screwed. I will be here for the rest of the day. It's just a marathon of Cake Boss and and Buddy's Kitchen or whatever it is.
It just always makes me think. Like, I remember when Napoleon Dynamite came out and my parents and I sat down to watch it, and I thought it was hilarious. And my dad complained the entire way through about how awful it was, and then at the end of the movie he went, but I watched the whole thing.
Yeah. It's like, can I knock it? I watched the whole thing.
That's what Jersey Shore is kind of like for me.
I don't know. The Jersey Shore is It really is a really interesting show if you've watched it all the way through for a couple of reasons. One, they really become, like, in the first season, it probably was kind of scripted, and at least they thought of Snooki and the situation as kind of being, well, these guys can be kind of be more famous, and we'll just kind of feed them lines about grenades and
their
abs and smushing and stuff, so that'll kind of tie things over. But they kind of, it was kind of interesting that afterwards, like the first season, they were kind of unaware, and it just, apart from a couple of them, like a couple, I think Snooki was on some reality show or like a reality dating show before for like one or two episodes. But I think it was kind of interesting that most of them really seemed like it was almost like a job that they were like, you get to live in the Jersey Shore for a summer and you can just kind of party and we'll videotape you and then you can just do something else for the rest of your lives.
Yeah.
And they kind of all became really famous. And then it kind of became interesting in the third season when they got back to the Jersey Shore and there were just hordes of people following them all the time. And they still continue to try not to portray them as celebrities at all. Like I was listening to an interview with Vinny, and this was for the record. Yeah, I hear you laughing, Kelly.
Sorry.
It was a podcast that I typically listen to. It's not like I'm searching
to use for.
Yeah.
No, I didn't like go on the podcast search and search Vinny.
Yeah.
Interviews, but anyway. There was an interview with him, and he said that it kind of became weird at certain points because they did actively try to they couldn't talk about things that they did apart from what happened on the show and stuff. Like there were a bunch of situations where they were going to say people were talking about like them hosting club nights and stuff, and they apparently cut all of that out.
Oh wow!
So, but anyway, it is kind of interesting to watch it now because they're just like, if a bunch of them are walking down the boardwalk, like if you kind of like the show is also really, really well cut together.
Yeah.
But it, like, if you peek over their shoulders and pause it, there's clearly like a crowd of like 100 people following them.
That's really?
So
just
crazy.
Down the boardwalk, and there's like, you can kind of see security guards
kind of holding them back,
trying to keep people like 10 feet back or so.
Wow.
So the show is kind of interesting to watch from that standpoint. It's also just really weird, their reactions to things, and I don't know.
God, it's just...
I mean, I know a lot of people don't... No one watches it like that. Everyone just kind of is like, oh, let's see them get drunk and fall down.
And it's weird, too, to see, like, younger people now that just love it. Like, people that
they
are in high
school. They love it for the drama of
and
it,
they actually... Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like a soap opera to them or something, and they just...
Yeah. It does seem like it. That's going to be the soap opera of our generation.
Yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
people in... When we're, like... 67 years old, they'll be like, yeah, I'm gonna watch The Real World or the Jersey Shore rebooted or something.
Yeah. Gosh, and yeah. It'll be like, it's so weird because every now and then that Snooki character, I don't even know who she is. I guess she was on back in the day. And
oh,
it'd be so weird. And yeah, they're no longer be soap operas. They're getting canceled to be those things. And it's just like,
They probably will. They're the cheapest type of show to
yeah.
make.
Well, I'd say that's going to become the daytime television, is reality shows. Instead of being primetime shows, they're just going to be like the soap opera time. So it'll be like from noon until 5, it'll be reality shows.
Most daytime talk shows are – or most daytime shows are technically reality shows. They're just kind of – like it's Maury Povich or
– yeah, getting on the talk
Jerry
shows.
Jerry Springer or – Jerry Springer's Bodyguard spinoff show, Steve
yeah.
Wilkos.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was pregnant. That's another one.
Yeah. Oh, God. And 16
That is my
pregnant.
Least favorite part of every soup episode, but yeah. they show that.
Also, because every story is the same.
Yeah,
she went to the bathroom.
It is never funny.
No.
Like, it's horrifying.
They're always terrifying.
As a lady, it's terrifying. How would you not know? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd imagine it's even worse to be a female watching that, but it's also like it always just like kills the buzz of the show. Like, oh, this is funny. It's like, I didn't know I was pregnant, and I always skip over it now.
Good.
Yeah, because it's just it's
they haven't
terrible.
Had one in a while,
which is good. Yeah, yeah.
My new favorite clips are the taxidermy show.
Yeah,
yeah, it's good that they've tapped into that type of reality show.
Yeah, that and that. Oh, that guy, the swamp billionaire. The Bayou Billionaire.
Oh,
and
Bayou
like,
Billionaire.
He was like, it's going to give you $10,000. He just starts shooting his gun. Holy shit.
That was really bizarre.
Yeah.
Like he shot it several times.
Yeah. And he shot his... He was like, I shot my toe. Like, he almost shot the other guy in the foot. Like, holy fuck. I said to Megan, what are the camera people thinking right now? Like, this guy is paying attention to that guy, not the people filming him. Like, they're lucky they didn't get shot.
Yeah, that'd be unfortunate.
I'd imagine they would probably quit right after that. Someone fired live ammunition around them.
I mean, in that situation, do you think that was real or that was, like, supposed to
I
be a shock value
real.
Scripted thing?
I think that was real.
Oh, God.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to say, but...
It's terrifying.
I hope it wasn't real, but...
yeah, I know.
I kind of think it is. I've never been to, like, that, like, Mississippi or Alabama or that place, but that's apparent, like... The stereotypes there seem to be pretty fitting with reality.
Yeah, I've seen when they went with Top Gear.
Oh my gosh, that was terrifying.
That was just shocking to me to see, like, they got stoned and, like, the guys had just...
Biblically.
The girl just said, she was like, I called the boys. You guys better get out of here. And then he was like, okay. And they start laughing and stuff. And all of a sudden this truck pulls up with four guys with baseball bats, guns, a dog, and, like, just... started picking up rocks and throwing them at them. And, like, it was just unbelievable.
There's a lot of parts of... I've been to Texas. There's a lot of parts of Texas that are pretty stereotypical as well.
Yeah. Like, that stuff's terrifying. Like, I heard a friend say that his grandparents went down there camping and stuff, and they had their trailer out, and all of a sudden, these guys came over and were like... They had a Canadian flag up, and he was like, take that flag down or get out of here. We're going to burn your trailer down tonight. And they were like, okay, and they just left.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He said, take it down and put up an American one, or either just take it down, I can't remember. And he said, if you don't, we're burning your trailer down. Like, that is just...
That's ridiculous.
Oh, it's terrifying. At least they give you a chance, but still. Like...
least they're courteous.
Yeah,
they ask pretty nicely.
It's better than just waking up with your trailer burning down around you. They let you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. So.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah. Do you have any more on the Jersey Shore?
Yeah, we kind of segued away.
Well, I don't know. I don't watch it, like, ironically. I take issue with that because I always hate when people say that they watch it ironically because it's as if, I don't know, it's against their own natural impulses to watch it. And
yeah.
During that time period, they typically, like, are reading Albert Camus or something.
Oh, gosh, the hipsters.
Yeah.
Which isn't, like, true at all.
No, so yeah. As someone who's
and,
read
Albert. And I don't know if I said this during the podcast, and I meant to, and I don't know if I did or not, but I do agree with you. I shouldn't have said that ironically, because it is the sort of thing where if I watch a show that I know is terrible and I continue to watch it.
You watch it because it's hilariously bad.
Yeah, I am watching. And it's funny because it always brings me back to we went to see District 9 and it was me, you, and Megan.
Yeah,
and I remember we got out of there and we all looked at each other and were like, that was really strange because we weren't expecting that. It wasn't what we saw in the trailers. I mean, I love the movie now that I think back on it. But at the time, and I remember you just said you were like, well, I was intrigued and entertained the entire time, so it must have been good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of how it is. I mean, it's the same as, like, I've sat down and watched, you know, something will come on, like Survivor back in the day, and I'll sit there.
Yeah,
I'll end up just getting sucked in and watch the whole episode. I'm like, well, I didn't change the channel, and I was kind of intrigued by what was going on, but...
It's like, I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and I mean that is kind of what the Jersey Shore is like, and they always are kind of seem like they're about to just break down into some, I don't know, some kind of personal crisis, and it's that is always kind of intriguing. But.
Yeah, and I think I put it the wrong way because I think what I meant to say is I think you watch it in a different way than most people do. Like you said, like you were really intrigued by how how far they've come in such a like the way the show is shot now and the way like, the people themselves are so different. And
it's weird. I'm kind of interested in all the elements of the show apart from the actual main storylines of them. Just kind of,
having
arguing contests for hours at a time.
Yeah. It's more of like a psychology thing. It was just like,
It is kind of like a sociological experiment. I've always wanted to meet a sociology major and ask them if they actually watched it.
Yeah.
I know they definitely would say they didn't, but I have to think they actually do.
Yeah, because somewhat like, I mean, if you're that interested in like the way people act, it's like, look at these people. They're so like.
I liked when they got super pole.
I mean, they're such weird figures now, and when people watch it, they don't take them seriously as people. They take them as the situation and Snooki. It's like,
it is that element's also really interesting that they kind of became these characters and they kind of, especially Snooki in the situation, that they kind of seem to attempt to fill out these characters like 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
and it's really interesting. Like their job now is to be on that show and then. Their kind of part-time job is to, I don't know if you guys know, like there's kind of like this weird underbelly of reality shows where like if you were on like the Real World or something and you were kind of known as like a partier, you end up kind of hosting club nights.
Yeah.
Like Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, I could see that.
You have to kind of like keep up with that persona that you've created.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really, I don't know, it's really strange.
Yeah, and that's it's sort of
so
like that, you become typecast, sort of like an actor would, but in a different sort of world.
That's also a really interesting element of reality shows, though. It's kind of people kind of literally watch it not as they kind of see you as that person all the time, even though you're probably not like that.
Yeah, and
when your job is kind of to be a public figure, and that's essentially it. You kind of have to keep up that image all the time.
So that
element's really interesting.
I think a really good example of that is Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh yeah,
like that. He's that character whenever he does anything. But there's the few odd interviews, or sometimes it's like behind the scenes that I guess he wasn't expecting to really be put up anywhere, and he's just a completely normal guy. But
yeah.
How do you? And he has this persona, and he's a comedian by doing that. He's on talk shows doing it. He has movies that are based around this character. They're making a Tooth Fairy 2 that had The Rock in it originally, and they're making a second one with him as what? Larry the Cable Guy. Like
what?
So
oh no,
to do that persona day in and day out, I think you just it becomes so hard to come home at night. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on the character you're doing. Like Stephen Colbert, I mean, Colbert is not that character. Like he's not really that person. So it's. I mean, he comes home, and it said it's easier for him because when he does it every night now, it says something that he wouldn't normally say or does something he normally wouldn't do just to get a laugh. He looks back on it and is like, well, that wasn't me. That was Stephen Colbert, not Stephen Colbert. You know, like, yeah. I think that's such an interesting way to look at it. So,
yeah.
So I mean, do these people ever break character in interviews or just be like, because I saw them on Ellen because they were playing that game where you disappear.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
No or go, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, they got a couple questions, but when it was anything more difficult than, you know, what happens when you go out in the sun for a couple hours and it starts with a T and ends with Anne, and they were just like, I don't know. Is it Tenastanan? It's like,
Tenastanan.
You know, like, when it came to serious questions, I remember one of them, like, they were just like, I don't know what that is, but I wonder, was that, you know, them being their character, or are they just really that slow when it comes to that stuff, or just don't know, or... And are they so absorbed in their world that they don't know what's going on in the actual world, because...
I think they're smarter than people give them credit for.
That's what I wonder,
They learn to market themselves in a certain way.
Oh, definitely. Like, that... Snooki's not really as stupid as she appears. Like, she's probably not really intelligent, but she's probably... smart enough to know what a tan is or whatever that was.
But do you think she knows the way she's perceived on TV, or
I think she doesn't
care.
Absolutely.
She definitely knows, and she definitely knows that, like, it is kind of like her job is, I guess, to do those things. So she knows that when she goes on, like, Jay Leno's talk show, she has to say Gorilla Juice Head and Smush, and then she kind of walks out of there, and they give her a paycheck, and she goes on her merry way. I'm sure that they are very, very aware of how they're perceived. I've also heard that the situation is not as big of a douchebag as he appears.
Yeah,
I've heard that too.
People have said that, like, they've met him at, like, kind of club nights, and he's just kind of like a fairly normal guy. Mm-hmm. And that maybe he just kind of puts on that thing.
Yeah.
It all depends on how it's cut together too, right?
Yeah,
like
it
a lot
does.
Of people who do reality TV, they don't they have that period of filming and then they go back and they watch it later and they're really surprised with how they appear because
and they're
of the
upset
way they've cut
because
it.
They're just like, wow, I fought with that person like three times over the
and
over
they blow
that
it up, right?
That last 2 weeks and they use that as the whole episode? Like Oh, that's why I wouldn't want to do Big Brother, because, I mean, at least once a day you say something, you're like, oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't
just
have done that. Or
someone moved the peanut butter, and it becomes, like, a big deal.
Yeah, so, and then it's like, if you think a week, you know, it's 24 hours in a day for 7 days a week, and then they only cut together 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're one of, like, the 12 people that are still left.
And
like,
they
it's
just decide to target you for that week, right?
Yeah, and you notice, too, as the show gets picked down and there's two people left... All of a sudden, the show's not interesting.
No.
They try and make it interesting by being like, who's going to go next? And try and add all those fillers because it's two people. They're not doing anything.
I always used to love the last episode of Survivor.
Yes,
where
because
just
they would sit at the beach,
on the beach.
And they'd burn everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd like burn
they did that, and then they would have like montages of like them pictures of the other people, and then them like remembering the times they had with them.
Yeah,
that was always really bizarre.
And they do the long shots of like the fire and like
and it was
getting
like,
ready.
It was cut into real time with them like 2 months later after they won, and it was like they'd return to the studio and everyone would like confront each other. And
oh, that was
they'd
so
be, like,
weird.
Roll the next clip. It was so weird. And everyone had makeup on and they weren't like dying of hunger.
Yeah, like. It's amazing too that how they're becoming such celebrities too. Like Rob, he's been on like Survivor three times now. Like,
yeah, he was on The Amazing Race as well.
Yeah, and he's also doing a new show, 60 Ways to Get Around the World or something with the monster truck driver who drives Gravedigger. Like,
what?
And they're
oh my god!
And so they're finding like 60 different
methods of transportation.
Yeah, methods of transportation to get around the world. Like, they're using planes and using these ridiculous vehicles and
Sea-Doos, like yeah, Google Maps tells you.
Exactly. They're using that to get from China to the States.
The United States, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, it's just... It's ridiculous, some of the stuff they're doing, but... I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's just Boston Rob has become such a thing.
But it's, like, only a thing in that realm of TV, right? Like, he's not actually... Like, I mean, he's like a parody of himself.
But then you have, like, what's-her-face from The View, who's, like, the
Elizabeth
most annoying.
Hasselbeck?
Yes. She is so unbelievably annoying, but she became famous because of Survivor.
She makes me think of Hasselbeck cut potatoes.
Really?
Yeah, she was on the second season of Survivor.
Yeah. She was the pretty one.
Yeah, and she made
I watched that one. I don't even remember her.
Yeah, and she made it to...
She was, like, the third or fourth last contestant or something.
It came down to Colby and...
I liked Colby. Colby and that blonde woman.
Yeah, she won, I think.
Yeah, the older woman.
Yeah. And she was, like, third up was Elizabeth, and she is now on The View. Like, oh, it's so weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. So I just... Oh, I don't know. But speaking of ridiculous shows...
Uh-oh.
I was just telling Donald before the podcast, there's a new spinoff for The Office. And it's... As The Office winds down, they're finally, you know, starting to try and make a new show.
Are they, like, what's Wait, in talks with The Office?
Like, is that the plan with the show, that the original American one will end and this one will continue?
I don't think. People have said, like, they think it's winding down just based on the quality of it. But I think NBC has said they will be doing a ninth season, and that's how they're going to spin off the show. Mid-season is when... one of the characters is going to leave. Just take a guess, Donald, of the only character that can probably leave the show and people would... I don't know if they'd watch it, but it seems like the only character that they could spin off with.
I guess Dwight would be the one.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
My first guess was Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd watch a show with just Creed.
Creed was always my favorite character.
Yeah.
But I would figure... Dwight would kind of be the logical
He's
choice.
More sustainable.
I would think.
But they were spinning off Dwight to run the farm and run it as an inn, and it's going to be a family sitcom.
You have to admit some
Whoa,
of the best...
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it's...
Oh, it's going to be a family sitcom?
The idea is to split it off like they did with Frasier. They're going from doing like this show where it's just friends and stuff to moving off to doing... He was now like sort of a family-oriented show.
Oh, that makes me not excited
anymore. Yeah, it's going to be him and his extended family. And like
Without Moe's, though.
Yeah, I don't think Moe's is going to do it because the guy himself is like a writer and stuff like that. And
yeah, he's one of the executive producers for the show.
And I think he's also one of the creators of Parks and Rec, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's going to continue.
Yeah, like Parks and Rec was originally supposed to be
the spin-off.
The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess...
Which was the reason I didn't watch Parks and Rec in the beginning.
Yeah, but I'm glad they didn't go that way. But apparently the guy who plays Toby, I can't remember his name, him and Rainn Wilson have been going on about it for, you know, the last 2 or 3 years, just kind of joking like, oh, wouldn't it be funny if, you know, we met more family of theirs and all this stuff. And I guess it got around the studios and stuff, and NBC approached them and were like, you should do this. Like, we'll fund this.
Now that we've gotten rid of Community.
Yeah, and now that we've gotten rid of Community, the show that people enjoyed, let's do a spinoff with Dwight.
But, like, a sitcom would be so contrived.
Well, the thing is, Dwight is so awkward, you can't have a family sitcom like Frasier, because Frasier was a normal guy. You know, you could do... And people have said that, I guess, people have gotten the taste of Joey off their tongue.
Oh.
So, you know, they're starting to forget about that wonderful spinoff.
See, I was going to say... There's some truth to the idea that some of the best episodes of The Office in the past, like, few years have taken place at the farm.
At Shroot Farms, yes.
Yeah.
But
like, when Moe's is parking all the cars at Andy's party, and he's just driving them out into a field.
Yeah. I also enjoyed the when he brought Ryan there to try and teach him about sales.
And when Jim and Pam went for a evening getaway.
Dwight
read them Harry Potter.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something, and it could go somewhere and be something totally unexpected that you're like, okay, I see this. And they could change the character. I mean, they've done spinoffs where, you know, it goes from being, you know, Dwight being Dwight to all of a sudden being a family guy. Because they'd say, like, well, in his own environment, he's a different person.
No, he's still so weird. Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna do it so that mid-season he just freaks out. He's just like, fuck this, I'm done with The Office. And he, you know, they've kind of been hinting he can do better. He thinks he's like... you know, the source of that office and that he's the main salesman. So he's going to walk out on them. and then start running the inn. But
that last episode of The Office.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and just, I don't know. Like Megan was just saying, like, the last episode was just with the party was just strange.
The Robert California diving naked into the pool.
Yeah.
I didn't see that episode. Oh. It's,
and
The Office is bad, though. Like,
yeah, they're getting a new love interest, so.
Yes, yeah. Catherine Tate.
Yeah, we mentioned this before, and that should be.
Yeah, I heard that.
She's funny. She was the one. We actually watched it last night.
She was in the that interview episode, wasn't she?
And she was really funny too. She was just like,
we just had no idea who she was at the time.
Yeah, and she was Joe's, like, a friend of Joe's, so that could be funny. And
I'm her best friend. She's not my best friend.
Yeah, like it looks pretty. It could be funny and. But it just seems like a stretch. I mean, hopefully, like, they are throwing her in. She's supposed to be, like, you know, she's huge in British actress. So I guess they think they're going to pull those fans in. But a lot of people don't know who she is in North America. So it's not like they're throwing in a big celebrity. But I'm excited because I know who she is only because of Doctor Who. But and I watched her other show, but only because I saw her on Doctor Who. So I don't think it's going to carry over the same
you never know, though.
Sort of way. Like,
people who watch Doctor Who are generally the same people that watch The Office.
No, I mean, somewhat, yeah, but I mean, there's a huge audience, too, I mean, that don't watch Doctor Who that watch The Office.
That's
and she says, like, she came over to the States when she was, you know,
filming.
Hearing about, you know, this, yeah, when she came over to film that last episode, and she said she was in a Foot Locker, and no one knows her over here. She said no one approaches her, not like in, you know, when she's back in England or something, yeah, people approach her, and she said that all of a sudden, these three girls just ran up to her and were like, oh my God, it's Catherine Tate. And she was like, why do people know me here? And then she realized they were all British.
Yeah.
They were over for, like, a trip. Oh. So she said that nobody knows her really over there. So.
I love that interview. And the guy interviewing her was like, what's a Foot Locker?
Yeah, no one knows. Yeah. Nobody knew what Foot Locker was. And I think Josh Groban was there.
Yeah.
It was weird. That was another thing. I always enjoyed the way British people do their talk shows. Rather than do one guest at a time, they always have like four or five main guests
for
the whole
hour,
episode.
And they make them awkwardly interact with one another.
Yeah, and I always found that so much funnier because the guests are like, I like you, I know you, or just like, who is this
and
guy?
Josh Groban was so awkward.
Yeah.
He was
awkward.
Yeah, I think that's more of just kind of American talk shows. It's rare that there's more than one person on like a couch at a time.
Yeah,
but I do like that about British talk shows.
Yeah,
the Jonathan Ross show is pretty funny sometimes.
Yeah, I think we've seen some of that. We've also seen the I forget the name of it, but I like the way they do their like they'll do the celebrity game shows and stuff too, and that's like a regular thing. And I always found that really funny. So I saw one recently with Russell Brand.
Oh, Russell
and
Brand,
he's just ridiculous.
I'm sad about his split from Katy Perry.
Yeah.
You're sad about it?
I like Katy Perry. Enough.
Okay.
Enough.
He said...
It was weird. I used to listen to his podcast. Well, he had a radio show on the BBC, and I used to listen to his podcast, and he used to very openly... Like, this was just kind of coming off of his heroin and sex addiction.
Yeah.
And he used to, like, really openly... just ask girls to get together that night, and Katy Perry was on the show once, and they started dating because he talked to her on that, and he was like, he was like, just talk to the assistant at the end of the show, and she'll give you my number.
Crazy.
It was really bizarre when they got married afterwards, and I was like,
that is
listen to that
so
show.
Bizarre. Was this something?
And then, like, three shows later, he got thrown off because he talked about Andrew Sack's daughter.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you guys followed that. But
I haven't heard that, but he's got...
He wrote, like... He talked about Andrew Sack. Do you guys ever watch Fawlty Towers?
I've seen episodes of it.
I haven't seen
Andrew Sacks was a character on that, and he talked about having sex with Andrew Sack's daughter very openly. And then on air left several voicemail messages to Andrew Sachs's phone and wrote songs about having sex with her and sung them to him. It's really, really funny, but it's kind of terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, he got thrown off after that. Jonathan Ross was actually on that show.
Jonathan Ross.
Anyway.
That's hilarious, though. He got kicked off everything that he's had free, like, he could say what he wanted on. Or do what he wanted. He's always gotten kicked off.
Yeah.
Like, the only things he's able to do now is movies because they can stop him from doing those things.
Yeah.
Oh, the camera wasn't rolling. Sorry.
I think one of my favorite things is that when he went to do Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the scene where he's surfing, it was originally written that he surfs by and he's amazing at surfing, and he just walked and he was like, I can't do that.
I can't.
And they had to
surf.
Rewrite that character, and they were like, well, he's hilarious. We'll have him do it, and we'll just have him sitting on the surfboard.
Yeah.
But I thought that was so funny.
Yeah. That was funny.
But, oh, it's good.
He's a funny guy.
He is. He is ridiculous, but. I don't know. I'd like to see his comedy live and stuff. He'd be pretty funny, but
apparently it's really good.
I love when he does an English, like a American accent, and it's just
because
he's so good at it. Yeah. and he's always saying something ridiculous. But,
yeah.
Oh God, I don't know. But yeah, it's been rough without shows this week.
Yep.
Been trying to find other things to watch. We've been watching Buffy, and I know how much you love that, Donald.
That was another show I never... I understand that more than I understood Doctor Who. I understood why some people watched it.
Yeah.
A couple of my cousins were big fans of it.
As I watched it, I can't believe how big it was, though. The fact that they had a spinoff from
it. Yeah.
With
I mean, that part never really made sense to me. Like, I understood why it kind of had a cult following, but I never really understood why that cult following kind of mutated into it being like it was one of the bigger shows on television,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it had a spinoff, and the spinoff
Angel.
Happened while the show was going on, and they actually had characters going back and forth from each show.
Yeah, that's when it gets kind of screwy between in like the fourth season after Angel leaves. It's like one character, she's like, oh, go bring this to Angel in LA, and he's gone for the next episode.
Because he's gone to be in that episode.
In that episode in Angel. Yeah. And like, likewise, like there's a lot of crossover.
But the worst part is it's kind of written in that way that you need to watch you don't need to watch both shows.
Like when Buffy was like, when I was in LA, I was like,
yeah, but every now and then they throw in something where they're like, when I was there to see this person, and you're like, you didn't do that. Did we miss an episode? It's like, oh, it's in that other show. So it's
that weird
strange.
Parallel universe.
I don't know. There's not a lot of shows
that.
I liked it more this season. I think we've kind of run out of other shows to watch, too.
Yeah.
So it is the one show that I have that I'm like, what do you want to watch? Well, I don't know. What do we have? Well, let's just throw on an episode of that. Besides that and, like, Top Gear, I've been watching more of that. But it's just – I don't know. I need to get more shows to watch that we can both watch and stuff. But
yeah.
So I got to finish Breaking Bad as well. Have you got through that more?
I'm kind of out on the fourth season. Like, I've watched, like, three or four episodes in, and I can't get into it at all.
No, I haven't. I think I'm still on the am I on the fourth season? Is the plane crash happen at the end of the third?
Second.
Oh, wow. I'm only on the third season.
Hmm.
Yeah, fourth season.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fourth season's the new season, isn't it?
That was the newest.
Yeah.
The third season's pretty good. I like that one. The fourth season is kind of slow and... It gets kind of more ridiculous.
Yeah, I've only got like a couple episodes into third. Wow, I haven't caught up. But
anyway, I did want to talk to you guys about your response to my question about Doctor Who.
Oh,
yay!
Do you? Okay.
We're watching Doctor Who stuff today.
Yeah, we've actually been watching a whole bunch of stuff.
Kellen finds this stuff while I'm just wandering around.
Yeah, and then she just sits down and watches it with me.
Get over here and watch this.
Yeah, it's been a lot of like, I've watched this documentary on... It was like David Tennant, Matt Smith from the new season, and like talking about him being the new doctor. It happened just before he started being the doctor. And it was like
how they broke the news to people who it was going to be.
Yeah.
It?
And then they went back and talked about every doctor that's ever been on.
Oh my gosh. They did like a weird like pseudo description of their time.
The best part about it is they did this thing where every time they talked about a certain thing, they would show a montage
and try weird music.
Yeah. They'd fit the weirdest music and try and make it fit. The pictures that were being showed.
Spaceman by the Killers.
Yeah, they played Killers. And they played, Spaceman by the Killers. So that went with Doctor Who, I guess. But it was just so bad. Then the worst was Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
Thanks for the Memories. And they played that along with, like, they were just talking about how David Tennant left the show. And then they said, played that song. And every single time they said stuff like, one point they said Crystal Ball. So they showed a shot where someone was holding a crystal ball from Doctor Who.
It was like a really badly made fan video.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, a bad fan video. And they fit it to every line in the song. Kind of had something to do with Doctor Who.
One? There was a song about clothes, too, because they were talking about the different outfits
They're talking about the most important thing about being a new doctor is trying to decide what he's going to wear, and because it's going to be the clothes he wears through the rest of, for the next 3 or 4 years. And then they played this song that was like, gotta find new clothes, and it was like this weird sort of
so
mix of like poppy
about
country.
The way I look in my clothes.
Yeah, oh, it was a terrible documentary. in like the montages were horrible, but it was interesting like listening to, you know, Stephen Moffat, who's doing the new season, and Russell Steve Davis, who did the old ones. And that was interesting, but my God, it was poorly cut together. But anyway,
Donald asked his question.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about...
Who made that documentary, though?
The BBC. I think it was BBC.
Yeah, it was a BBC thing, and it said... It was something I didn't know, but... Yeah, it was supposed to be, I think... They do a thing every year, or they have done the last... For the last two Doctors, it's like Doctor Who at the Proms, which is... it's sort of... They do all the music from Doctor Who. They have the orchestras there, and the orchestra does...
Is that who put together the documentary?
It was... the file that I'd found was to do with that, but I don't know if that was what the documentary was for.
I think it was Doctor Who Confidential at the beginning.
Yeah.
I booted up, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, so it might have been Doctor Who Confidential then, but it was weird. Yeah, I don't know if you know, Donald, like we talked about before, Doctor Who Confidential is like... The show is so popular that they actually show the episode... And there's a documentary, an hour or half an hour long documentary
but
after,
like
every episode,
after every episode
on how they did that episode.
Every episode.
Yeah, and how they, yeah, exactly. And how they did the episode on, and sometimes they'll do an offshoot of like interviews with different people or they'll talk about doctors over the years. But a lot of times it's mostly from that set, from that week or 2 weeks that they did to film that episode, which is so strange. But that might have been what we were watching, but it was different. So, So what's your beef?
No, I don't really have a beef. I have to say, I was not expecting your answer at all. Like, I would not have guessed that Doctor Who was a really character-driven show. I would have guessed it was kind of like James Bond.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so character-driven.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, James Bond doesn't really have a character, really. Like, he's just kind of, it's a stoic Caucasian male. And
in a
he's
suit.
Just kind of.
Yeah, and I see what you mean.
Yeah, he's in a suit. Yeah. He seduces a lot of women for some reason.
Yeah, and they have multiple of them. It's like kind of reincarnating him every couple of years.
Yeah, like I kind of figured it was like that, and that it was kind of like it was one of those shows that was kind of more. It was as fun to discuss as it was. It was probably more fun to discuss than to watch. Like it, people always talk about who their favorite James Bond villain was and who was their favorite James Bond, and like people kind of talk about that like Saturday Night Live as well. Like who was their favorite character on Saturday Night Live and who's their favorite sketch and all that. So I figured it was kind of like that.
And it's funny because they still have that with the fact that, you know, all the new doctors, who's your favorite doctor, companion, villain. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but it's because he's like the character himself. He's meant to portray like a really old person that's had multiple incarnations.
Yeah,
so it's really challenging for the actor, as we were learning about on this off-site documentary.
On the documentary, yeah, there was actually a neat section that talked about how they try and...
They have to incorporate everything.
Everything from 1963 till now. Yeah.
Because he's the same person,
but
he's just got a different form.
They do have a different style. Like, every character has their own quirks, so it's like every time he reincarnates, he's going to have... You know, he has a whole different body, so he has different sort of mannerisms, the way he acts, the way he thinks.
Yeah.
And so... But at the same time, he always remembers the old times and, like, different stories and stuff. And he still has, like, anger issues from different villains from the past. So it is weird. It is really character-driven. And even watching this documentary, seeing some of the old doctors and how they're reacting to situations, I was like, wow, like...
You can see them shine through, like, the...
Through all the new doctors,
too.
So...
Yeah.
I'm glad we answered your question well and that it was enlightening,
yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
I kind of felt like a prick when you read out my. I don't. The reason I said that was because I've always been fascinated with the fact that the rock band Rush has a cult following, and no Rush fan could ever articulate at all why they had a cult following. Every time I've met about four that are really big Rush fans, and every time I say, like, why does Rush have a big following? They're like, because they're awesome.
Yeah.
That's
and like
so
that's it. I'm like, oh, okay, but like why is it? Like, oh, they're great musicians. And I'm like, okay, said the same thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, why does Rush have a big following and like Journey doesn't? Like, why does Journey not have a cult following? They're like, oh, Journey sucks.
Yeah. And it's like, why? Why do they suck?
Like,
poor Journey.
Okay, you're saying the same thing over and over again. Like that just and they can't ever say it. So and then they just get. They become weirded out as to why I'm asking so many questions about a band I don't really like.
Well,
I'm not gonna lie though, I definitely had to think about it
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had.
And you asked us. I was like, "Why second. Do I like this show?"
Yeah, but I mean, don't feel like a prick at all. Believe me, I think I've had those conversations on the podcast recently about Glee. I'm in the same boat with Glee of how the hell does anyone still like that show?
It's all about the music.
But it's not. Yeah, and that's
I figured I probably would understand why a certain type of people watches Glee more than I would have understood why a certain person watched Doctor Who.
Yeah, I just.
But, like, it is kind of just about music, and it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of a show that's, like, just good times, the whole show, and they're just kind of sing songs.
Well, it's a teenage drama, too, right?
Yeah,
had a soft spot for, like, the OC.
And I think that's why I found it hard, just because I'm very story-driven.
Like, it's a smart show, but, I think.
Yeah, see, I have Megan's got, I've had to watch, like, 2 or 3 episodes with Megan, and every single time I'm like, this is ridiculous. The storyline had nothing to do. Like, the music had nothing to do with the storyline. The storyline was weak.
They do that.
Terrible.
They kind of just try and cram a plot line around a certain set of songs. Mm-hmm. That's frustrating. And it was. I'll admit, like, it's gone downhill. I always say this. The first season was a lot smarter than it is now because now it's kind of bending the popular will. But
I mean, we did have the conversation a couple weeks ago about My Little Pony.
My Little Pony.
Yeah.
That might be another question. Like, why do people watch that? Why is that such a cult hit with people our age?
I've never met anyone who's admitted to liking that show. I didn't really know that at all. So
I've never actually met anyone who's watched it. Like, I know.
I didn't know, like, it was still on TV.
Yeah, I thought it was a toy, and like that was it. Like,
it used to be a show, and then it had a toy, and then it was done.
Yeah.
I think like my sister.
I figured it was one of those television toys that was like, or the Cabbage Patch Kids.
I was watching something, maybe it was on the podcast, I don't know who told me this, but that they actually, like, I think it might have been Evan who said it, but they base, you know, they'll base their toys, and then the show has to write in those toys, even if it doesn't make sense to the show.
Barbie had a couple shows.
Yeah,
like,
well,
television
just like
shows.
Oh, yeah.
But like Transformers and things like that, like, the toy line would be like, oh, we made a new Transformer, write this into the show.
Transformers was nominated for an Academy Award.
Was it really?
It almost always is, but it's just
for special
effects.
The look on Kellen's face was
just terror.
Mingled
like,
shock and horror.
Oh, God. But
But
I mean,
anyway,
because
the other thing I wanted to talk about Doctor Who was about why it had a cult following. Kellen kind of touched on why I would have thought. It was just this kind of
the universe.
Because that, sorry, go ahead.
The universe, the sort of.
It was actually more when you said that it was more like why people started to watch it. And I figured it was more because the people who see, at least the American people who seemed to watch it, all kind of went on to be fairly influential. Like, it was always referenced in Futurama. Mm. It's referenced in The Nerdist all the time.
Yeah, and
so I figured that was kind of, because it's in the shows that it is referenced in, that's it's also kind of the same demographic that would probably like Doctor Who anyway.
Yeah, that's
kind of
true. Yeah, and same with, like, Community, for instance. Like, Troy and Abed, there's been a lot of Doctor Who references for them. And
the Inspector Space Time.
Yeah, exactly. So,
how much, like, it's referenced in The Nerdist a lot.
Oh, yeah, well,
like,
you mean like the podcast?
I listen to The Nerdist not as much as you. I listen to kind of when there's people on that I'm interested in. But like, how much did that influence you starting to watch the show?
100%.
Because like I find that too. Like, there's kind of like weird references to Doctor Who. I'm like, maybe I should watch the show. At least I would get the jokes in here.
Yeah, there's The Nerdist and The Geekbox are two podcasts I listen to. And they had been talking about it, and every second episode, they were like, oh, did you watch this week's episode? It was so great. It was amazing. I can't believe the show. And then there's a guy on one of the on the Geekbox who was like, I don't watch this show. Why would I watch this? And they made him watch an episode, and he watched all of it in like,
well, that was like
2 or 3 weeks.
I had always been really confused because I had a lot of friends that were like, oh my God, I love Doctor Who. And anytime I tried to like figure out what exactly it was, no one could explain it to me.
Exactly.
And then Kellen was like, we should watch this show, Doctor Who. And I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Like,
so
put it on.
To answer your question, Donald, it was 100% both of those podcasts.
Yeah,
it's
just because
I had seen it on CBC a long time ago, and I saw a clip of like one of David Tennant's episodes, and I was like, what
is
this?
The werewolf one?
He, no, it was It was one near the end when he, like, this girl, like, killed herself. He, like, brought, he saved her life, but she wanted to die or something, and she ended up killing herself. And he was like, I thought I'm supposed to be saving you and all this stuff. And he was getting too big on his power at the time. It was near the end of his run. It was the third or fourth last episode. He was freaking out. But it was just one of those things. I was like, I don't understand this. It was a guy in a phone box. And British shows, just the way they, like, Coronation Street and stuff, the way they showed the previews, it was always, like, this hazy look. And they shot the trailers for the show so weirdly that it just, I had no idea what it was about.
And, like, I had heard that it had been on since, like, 1963.
So I looked at it as, like, sort of a,
watch all of that.
Yeah.
Or,
that was the other thing I was really messed. I was like, I don't.
20 seasons.
Yeah. And being a completist, I was like, I need to start at the first. I can't just start watching in the middle like a lot of people can do. Like,
but you explained it to me. You're like, it's been rebooted. I was like, oh.
That's, and only because of the Nerdist and the Geek Box.
Yeah.
Everyone asked, where do you start? And they said, start of the Christopher Eccleston season. I was like, I don't know who that is. So I looked up him up and stuff, and it was like, start of the 2005 series. And then finally I went to Wikipedia or something. I was like, 2005 series, Christopher Eccleston. And then I realized, oh, they rebooted it. It was off the air for like 10 years. So
none of that would have been possible had SOPA been passed.
Yeah, exactly. Wikipedia. If SOPA passed, that none of that. Well, actually, I'm not worried about SOPA anymore. That's never going to happen. It's the bill that's been signed that is going to affect Canada. Have you heard about this?
No, not really. I haven't followed it that much, to be quite honest.
There's another one now that...
called ECTA, isn't it?
No, it's might be that one. I don't know. But there's a new one that was signed actually before all this SOPA stuff happened. And it gives everyone signed it. Canada has signed it. The U.S. has signed it. New Zealand has signed it. And I think China. And it just gives the rights for them to just take everything down. And it's going to destroy the internet. But
yeah, it has severely hindered my ability to find bootleg concerts.
Yeah.
I've noticed that.
Oh, really? You've actually found that stuff is getting taken down?
Yeah, which aren't even, like, trademarked things. Like, they're not even really supposed, because they're all individually recorded, so they shouldn't be able to be taken down.
Yeah.
But I think it's just kind of, if you search, like, they're just kind of connected to band names, and I think they're just kind of taking all that stuff down. So if you search the Strokes or LCD Sound System or something, then it just kind of, even if it's just a concert, then it gets taken down anyway.
Yeah, and I've heard that this is just going to become, like, they can't stop it at all. It's, you don't need court orders, you don't need anything to take websites down. All you do is just say, I want that website down, and it's taken down. So
yeah, it's very strange that they don't at least need to follow some similar, at least like police procedure, that they have to view the content and see why this is.
Yeah.
And then like a search warrant or something that. And they'd have to present evidence, which is kind of strange and scary.
But the worst part about it is that Obama was completely against SOPA. And then it just came out last week that he had signed this in October before it, like,
the SOPA and blew up. Yeah.
What happens now is, because he signed it, the way the bill is written, it doesn't have to go through
Congress
at all. And Congress is, there's actually on the White House website, there's a petition to stop it through the government website, because the Congress doesn't want it to go through, because they realize, like, holy crap, SOPA is a bad thing. And they realize
SOPA wouldn't
this
have just affected the United States. It would have affected, like, everywhere.
Well, that's the thing. SOPA would have only been able to be in the United States. Like, they couldn't take down torrent sites or something from another country, but this new one can.
Yeah.
Because this is signed, all the countries are involved. Like, Canada has signed it. All these other countries signed it.
SOPA would have been an issue, too, though, because you have no
SOPA would have been bad.
Information's coming from.
But this is probably worse, and it's actually happening. So it's like, SOPA's never going to happen. Like, that's...
But
I mean, they
love the internet.
Yeah, and it's just, the internet's going to... I don't know what I'll do without it. It's just...
It's not going to disappear overnight.
No, what I think is going to happen is, if it does get screwed over, I mean, just look at Anonymous. I mean, as soon as this stuff came up, they took down all the government websites.
Yeah.
You know, they completely overloaded them and destroyed them. It's like, if someone can do that, they're just going to create another internet. They're going to find a way to get internet into people's homes that it's...
guerrilla internet.
Yeah, it's going to be completely illegal, but they're going to find a way around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could do some intranet or something if you set up your own. I mean, that's a lot of money, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there are ways to get around it, and I'm sure eventually this will stop. I don't really know who's pushing that hard for it anymore.
Yeah, it's just terrifying that, like, these things can... Like, because that's the worst part about it is that now that it's signed, it can go through if all the countries and like the major leaders agree. It doesn't have to go through Congress or any of this stuff that we're trying to stop SOPA, you know. So it's like, I don't know.
I remember when Wikipedia blacked itself out in protest of SOPA. We were talking about it the night before in my seminar and like what it meant for, you know, shared open source information and blah 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 blah. And like I was amazed at like the next day I had to like search for something and I just completely forgotten about it. And it surprised me how quickly I would just go to Wikipedia.
And just all of a sudden, yeah. You're like, it's gone. I can't.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I can't read about the Himalayas.
And actually the next, or 2 or 3 days later, the support behind SOPA completely changed.
Crumbled,
and,
yeah.
And Congress was just saying, like, we can't go for it because we see now that there's so many people behind this that it's just election, like, poison.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll never get reelected if they go for it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is another thing that the U.S. is going to have an election soon, so.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know, but we'll see.
I don't think any real, apart from that thing that you were talking about, although I didn't know about that, I don't think any other real concrete stuff will happen, at least until after the U.S. election.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we might as well wrap up. Yeah. We've been going for quite a while, but before we go, I wanted to talk about my game of the week.
Oh, right.
I played it one night. I didn't get very far with it. I played for a couple hours, though. I mean, I got, you know, I think I've got, like, I think there's 15 chapters, and I got 4 in, so, you know. I got a bit into it. But the interesting thing about it was, it's called... I was just about to say. Enslaved Odyssey to the West. It was, it didn't do super well when it came out, but I heard some good things behind it. It was more of, like, I guess a cult game-ish sort of thing, where... You know, it didn't sell well, but a lot of people who played it did like it. I was playing it for a while, and the story is basically, it's in the future, a couple years, not a couple years, but like 40 years from now or something like that, and there's different planets now, I guess. So anyway, there's a slave ship.
You can travel to different planets?
No, it's just there's different planets. And they're in a slave ship, and they're flying over New York, and all of a sudden the slave ship starts to go down. And the slave is holding these people, they call him Monkey, the guy that was being held, and he's sort of like this huge guy, he can fight and stuff like that. He kind of looks like a monkey, a bit hairy and stuff. but it's kind of interesting. No, it's sort of interesting, though, because as the story's going on, I'm thinking, I'm realizing he's not a monkey. He's not what he's supposed to be. So... That was where the story got weird. I was playing into a couple hours, and all of a sudden there was flashbacks of him with a family. And this is where it was weird, is because the picture, I recognized the guy in the picture. I was like, how do I recognize a guy in an animated picture in a video game? So I went to look up who the voice actor was. Turns out it's Andy Serkis. And he's playing this character Monkey. And yeah, he does all the voice acting.
It's ironic. He plays a lot of monkeys.
Yeah, and I think, I don't 100% know, but I believe they've done the motion capture for this game, and I think he's done some of the moves.
Probably.
And stuff. Yeah, but I thought that was hilarious, and I was like, he's done monkey or apes before. So it's about this guy, and what happens is the slave ship goes down, and he jumps in this pod, or like onto this pod, and this girl like shoots off in the pod, and they land in destroyed New York. And now they want to try and find a way back. But when he wakes up from this, he all of a sudden, this girl, he's like, I'm going to kill you. And he runs at her. And all of a sudden, he just gets shocked. And she put this crown thing on him. So now he can't hurt her. And he can't go too far away from her. Because either of those things will kill or like shock him if he tries to hurt her. Kill him if he walks away from her. And if she dies, he dies.
Is this one of those stupid things, though, where she follows you around throughout the whole game and you have to, like, carry her through various stages?
Yes, and every single time a bad guy comes around, she's like, oh, I should run towards them. And it's like, no, you shouldn't, because you're going to get killed, and then I'm going to die.
Reminds me of all those awful situations in Zelda where you have to, like, carry people.
And that's one of those annoying things, except she does have a power. She has this sort of stunning power, so if guys attack her, she can stun them, but it has to take time to recharge. So you have enough time that they're stunned for, like, you know, 10 seconds so you can try and kill them before they start attacking her again. But it's just, it's weird. And you use her for different things. Like she, she can, you know, sexual things, obviously. This guy has been, she can create decoys so you can get by different enemies. She can, pick locks and that sort of stupid stuff. But
what a woman.
It's a pretty good game, but it's just kind of like, there's a lot of, climbing elements about it.
Ew.
But the climbing aspect isn't like you move over and do the stuff.
It's parkour?
Yes, but it's kind of cheap parkour where if you see a ledge over to the left, you hold left and click the jump button and you'll jump to the next one. Or you click right and jump to the next one. But you can't fall. It's more of like all I do is just hammer A continuously and kind of move the controller around until he jumps and it just picks the direction. It's not hard at all. And it would be cool in that way if the ledges were hidden, but they're flashing. So you can tell where the next one is. So it's
stupid.
It'd be different if like
stupid, I'm
you
over
had,
here.
Yeah. If you had to look around and say, well, that kind of looks like a foothole, click left and jump to it, that might be a bit harder.
It's glowing. It definitely looks like a foothole.
Exactly. So you know right away where you have to go. There's a foothole and there's a bar you have to jump onto. So it just
Game developers are beginning to seriously underestimate the intelligence.
They are. I mean,
of
if you
clientele.
Look, yeah, if you look back at older games, they were extremely hard and that was what they were known for. But then you have stuff like Mirror's Edge, which you could turn this off. But if you play it on, like, normal mode...
It was bright red.
Yes, everything was red that you had to run to and jump off of and jump under. It was this bright red in this
and
very
everything else
light
in the environment
blue background.
Was, like, yeah, white. Like, white
this white
and
or
gray.
Blue or light blue, yeah. So, extremely white, too. Like, there'd be spots where there'd be sun flares. Everything's white, and there's this big red jump that
you
have to jump off
of. I remember
you being
like, do you want to play? And I was like... No, I feel kind of insulted.
Yeah. I mean, if you put it on extra hard, you couldn't see any of that stuff, which would make it sort of more difficult. But at the same time, if you see a ramp that's going up to a ledge and then a building across from you, it's kind of like parkour. And that was the cool thing about it. It was sort of parkour-y.
Did you yell parkour every time you jumped?
Oh, every time I jumped, I was like, parkour, parkour! And then it was like The Office. Yeah. Oh, I loved that. And then I fell into a refrigerator box, and it was bad. But yeah, so that was my game this week. I didn't play it enough. I played it for one night. I played it, you know, 3 or 4 hours that night because Megan was gone. And
where did I go?
And then I got bored and I was like, I can't do this anymore. You were out for the night. You were gone to a friend's house.
Okay.
And so
whooping it up.
Yeah, we won't talk about that though. No,
Ellen's dark day.
Yeah, it was a dark day, but it was cool. The have you ever seen Ned's Declassified School Survival on the Family Channel?
I have not. No, I haven't.
Okay, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, too. I watched the Family Channel.
Yeah, I heard you watch iCarly.
Yeah, there was a penis on the wall. But that was sort of it. The other, from that, the main girl from that was also another voice actor in it. So there's a couple, not well-known, but like there was voice actors and stuff in it that, you know, some people might know. They weren't just gamer voice actors like Nathan Drake. Is Nathan Drake the guy or is he the – I don't know. But anyway – There's one guy who does all the voice. I think Nathan Drake is the guy from Uncharted, but the voice actor who does him does almost every voice in every game. He's like the stereotypical guy voice.
Hmm.
But yeah, so that was my game. It wasn't great. I mean, I haven't got enough through it to say, like, after all this, if I play it more, I might enjoy it more.
Mm-hmm.
But it was better than Borderlands by far, and I had way more fun playing it.
Land of Tan.
Yeah, I spent too much time on Borderlands compared to this one because Borderlands was terrible. But
Look at me, I'm dancing.
Yeah,
I'm dancing.
It was better, but I wouldn't say it's the best thing ever. But yeah,
Donald, did we answer all your questions about Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Yep. I would say so, and I now have a better grasp of why people like the show.
Are you yourself going to start watching it?
Probably not in the near future, but. I don't watch a lot of I watch a lot of television, but a lot of it's like sports and stuff, so I don't watch a lot of television shows.
And Jersey Shore, you know.
Jersey Shore, reruns of the Jersey Shore.
anything that the characters of Jersey Shore are on that week, like, yeah.
All their talk show appearances.
Exactly, yeah. Search out their interviews.
That consumes a lot of the time when you add it all
up.
Yeah,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Snooki's on a lot of shows.
If only you could get paid to do it, it would be just the best thing ever. just become a reviewer of just the Jersey Shore. Only review their interviews.
A critic of the Jersey Shore. That'd be a good job. I don't think I'd have very good job security, though.
Probably not. I would say you probably wouldn't continue very far with that. But
no, I would hope at least I would get fired pretty quickly or let go or something.
Oh, God. And just before we finish, too, I just want to say that, you know, because we have so, you know, few fans, I can thank the new fans to our podcast because we have Grant. Grant started listening to our podcast.
Yay.
If you're listening to this episode, how's it going? And we brought Donald back. He loves Donald's voice. and he was very excited about that.
Yeah, my smooth and silky voice, as you put it.
Exactly. Yeah, it was sultry and smooth. Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
And then we got Keith's is following us on the Twitter.
On the Tweetverse. You know,
but on the tweet box. But I don't know if he's listening to the podcast, but if you are, how's it going? I know Emily was listening, so tell Keith to listen, Emily. That's the way to do it.
Influence.
I guess we'll end the podcast here. It was
it's a lovely, lovely run.
It was a lovely run, lovely episode. And it was nice to have you back again, Donald. I'm sure we'll have you back again.
It was good to be back.
You ask all the right questions.
You do.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you write it in an email again and you don't want us to read it on the air, make sure you just preface that in the, you know, just let us know and we'll read it on the air, but we'll talk about what you talk about. And but okay. Please.
Oh no, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean like I didn't want you guys to read my douchey comment about not saying the show's amazing or whatever.
Yeah. but yeah, definitely write us more and send us more things, Donald, because it'll give us stuff to talk about. It's great.
Will do.
Okay, we'll see you all again sometime. And you can find us at raisindoors.co.cc. You can find us on Twitter at raisindoors. Email us at gmail at raisindoors@gmail.com. There's a lot of ats going on there.
At.
Yeah, you should search for Deer Facts because that'll get. If you want to find our website, don't search raisindoors. Just search Deer Facts,
Anatomy
of a Deer. Yeah. Yeah, white-tailed deer anatomy, and you'll find it no problem because everyone else is.
You could probably get more followers if this show just became purely about deer anatomy.
I think so. I think we should just...
Today we're going to discuss the cloven hoof.
Cloven hoof.
You guys could be like the number one podcast in deer anatomy.
Yeah, and it's just... We'll have to change the name and it'd be great. Might actually do that.
You'd be a local celebrity.
Raised indoors?
Yeah.
Raised indoors.
And the thing... Wow.
Like, you know, like raising deers indoors.
And I've actually... been putting deer facts and deer in the show
tags.
Notes, and we've been getting more hits on our website. So, yeah, because we're talking about it now, I will put it back in this week, and we'll probably get more views.
And we have only you to thank, Donald.
Fantastic. Yes, this is thanks to you, Donald, that we get more viewers.
Suddenly,
we're probably not getting viewers. We're getting people going, "What the? This is not about deer. What is this?
Doctor Who?
Showing them how it's done and telling them how it is. What kind of tech? What is this?" So.
About deer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know how to label a deer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever
I know where the tail is and whether or not it's white
exactly.
or not.
Exactly. Yeah. Whether I should hunt them or not, I guess. So.
Not if it's a mule deer.
Not if it's a mule deer. They're not worth it. But anyway, we'll catch you again next time. And
yeah.
Any last words, guys?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
All right.